Praise God. Praise God. Well, I have a word from the Lord for this church. I pray that it is. I felt it some time ago, and knowing that the time would come when I would stand here and deliver to you what I feel the Lord has given to me for individuals in this room, and as well as a corporate body, the church. And we love and honor your pastor. What a great man of God he is, personal friend. And the Hoffmans are just tremendous, tremendous people. And I respect him. And he is an honorary board member in our district, our Detroit, newly formed Detroit Metro District. And I just love to listen to him talk. On the board, we'd have a board meeting, and he'd start talking, and I just stop and put my pen down and listen. And the man is—he's a man of wisdom. He's a man of integrity, and we appreciate him so very much on the district board. And we're praying for him. And Brother Hoffman, if you are listening, I want you to know that. We are thinking of you. We hold you up in prayer, and we're here for you. Amen. I want to direct your attention today to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is a chapter that has helped me through the years. This is a chapter I have gone back to, and I've been encouraged by it. It's a chapter, a story in the Bible here that speaks to me on a personal basis, and I think it can speak to us as a church. There's tremendous truths that have been woven into this chapter and into this story that we're going to look at. I just want to read one verse of scripture to you, and you do not have to stand for this. Let me pull it up here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Amen. Here's the story. The king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, in the first verse, it tells us it just describes how he got the news that the enemy was coming against him. Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, they conspired against him, and he was, you know, just living life. He was a king in the palace. Everything was going well. No problems, no issues, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets this news that, hey, they're coming for you. And fear struck him. Now for us, as individuals, we're enjoying the goodness of God. We're enjoying all his benefits. We're enjoying his presence and his spirit. We're enjoying Christian community. We love the fellowship, and we get together, and you know, they have to put a timer on the screen to let us know, hey, stop talking, stop fellowshipping, return to your seats. Otherwise, you know, it'd get out of control, you know, and we'd go on for a long time. But that's just how we are. We enjoy a fellowship. And so and that's a blessing, and that's a benefit of God, is it not? Yes, it is. And in that living for God, calamity can come out of the blue. Never expected it. How did this happen? A plant closing, moving to another state, maybe a financial setback in your life, maybe a bad doctor's report, maybe a family relationship situation. You know, we don't ask for these things. But if you're going to live for God any length of time, you will come to know that life brings to all of us the good and the bad. And if you're going through a good time right now, well, thank the Lord. Praise God for the good times. Amen. Enjoy them. Rejoice in them. But if it's a valley you find yourself in, if it's rain clouds and no sunshine and you find yourself in maybe a crisis, well, you know, that's just life. That's just how it is. Scripture says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That man is born but just a few days and his life is full of trouble. I mean, life has a way of bringing things to us that we didn't ask for. And like the king, he found himself in a similar situation and it brought fear to his heart. And fear is not uncommon. Fear is normal. It's normal to people that say, well, I'm never afraid. Well, that's not true. All of us experience fear at some point in life. And that's what happened, overcame this king. He became fear. Now, fear can do one of two things to us. Fear can either paralyze us and we take no action at all, or we make the wrong decision, or fear can motivate us and cause us to seek the Lord. And that's what the king did. He sought the Lord. He called the people to prayer. He proclaimed a fast. You know, when you have a big problem, you need to pray a big prayer. When you have a deep problem, you need to go deep with your prayer and your seeking in God. This little, you know, prayer at the dinner table, that don't cut it with God when there's a crisis and there's a situation. We need to get a hold of God in those times. I'm afraid we don't have that like we need it. Or how can I say it? I'm just going to say it. We need more of it. We need a generation. We need a generation that knows how to get a hold of God. We need a generation that knows how to pray and get a hold of God. I mean, really get a hold of God. Praise God. Sister Hoffman, you know what I'm talking about. Those days of those extended times of sacrifice and prayer, and we didn't leave the church for days, and we fasted and we sought God and we cried out to God. I'm afraid we don't see that very much anymore. But that's what it's going to take to get something from God. You've got a big problem, you got to pray some big prayers. You got a deep problem, you got to go deep in God and to get a hold of God, to get his attention. Oh, praise the Lord. We get weak. Isaiah the prophet said, my knees were weak with fasting. Joel 3 and 10, he says, let the weak say, I am strong. That just seems so contradictory. When we're weak, how can we be strong? But you see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things, principalities, powers. We wrestle against the invisible things. Our warfare is not physical. It's not of this world. We are engage in battle in the spiritual realm. And so we exercise ourselves. The king here, if you read in this chapter, the king here trusted more in God than he trusted in his military. He called the people and organized the people. And sometimes you do that on an individual basis for yourself, and sometimes you do it with others. As a group, as a church. He proclaimed a fast. Fasting is a powerful expression of our total dependence on God. The way up is down. Like to be great, be the least. To have power, become weak. To be elevated, put yourself down. It gets God's attention. See, to get extraordinary help, we've got to employ extraordinary measures. If you find yourself in that place today, I pastor people, and I look around, you look just like the people in Detroit. And if you look, people are people. And wherever there's people, people are going to have problems. People are going to have trouble. People are going to go through crisis. There were words spoken here to the people. Instructions. And that's what I titled this earlier. It just came to me, battle instructions. They were told to set themselves. Now we have construction workers in our church in Detroit. They work with concrete. And they tell me concrete is guaranteed to do two things. It's guaranteed to get rock hard, and it's guaranteed to crack. And I think of setting ourselves, I think of that like that concrete set. It becomes immovable. It becomes hard, and I'm talking not in the physical, but I'm talking in the spiritual. We've got to set ourselves in our faith. Our faith has got to be set. It's got to be immovable. We have got to, and concrete is strong. Our faith has got to be strong in God. We don't trust in the arm of flesh, but we are Christian people. We are people that operate in the invisible, in the spiritual realm. And so our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons are spiritual. And having a rock hard, solid faith in God, unmovable, immovable, unbreakable, come what comes, it does not matter. My faith is set. I am set. My faith is set in the Word of God. Your faith has got to be set in the power of God. Oh, praise God. Set yourself in what you know is right. Set yourself in what you know is the right thing to do. Prayer is right. I'm not going to stop praying. Fasting is right. I'm not going to stop making a sacrifice to God. And worship is right. I'm not going to stop worshiping the Lord. He told them, stand still. That's the absence of movement. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving from this place. I'm not moving away from God. But rather, I'm going to tighten my grip on the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I am at the end of my rope, I'm going to tie a knot in the end and hang on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be steadfast. You're not going anywhere in your faith, in your dedication to God. But rather, you're going to stay in your place in God. And you shall see the salvation of the Lord. Now in this chapter, Jehoshaphat, he prays a prayer that's one of the most famous prayers in the Bible. And he begins, and it's rhetorical in nature. He asks God some questions in his prayer. And, you know, God knows the answer, of course. And the king knows the answer to the questions that he's putting to God. Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? Well, God knows that. And the king knew it too. Are you not our God? Well, yes. Have you not delivered us before? Yes. He wasn't reminding God. He was reminding himself. And in prayer, that's what we do. We remind ourselves. Oh, The promises of God are yea and amen. Not one good word of all of his good promise will fail me. You can put your hand, you can plunge your hand in the promises of God and get a hold of a promise for you that will sustain you, that will take you through the crisis. Praise God. He also says in that prayer, for we have no power against this great multitude. You know that problem we're facing, I'm facing and you're facing. It might be bigger than me, but it's not bigger than God. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. We need to get our eyes off of our problem and get our eyes on our provider. We need to get our eyes off of that situation and get our eyes on our Savior. We need to get our eyes off our dilemma and get our eyes on our deliverer. That's Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Praise God. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I know what someone might be thinking right now. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, you know, we got good company in the scripture. Queen Esther said, if I perish, I perish. The three Hebrew boys said, if he doesn't deliver us, we still will not bow. If I don't get my healing, he's still a healer. When he had assembled the people, he appointed singers. They fasted, they prayed, and they praised. Essential to our success as Christians. You and I can think of people, regrettably, that turned from God in a time of crisis, turned from God in the moment when they needed him the most. And tried to take things into their own hands and tried to force their own way. But when they needed to be still, not move, and set themselves in God. And who can tell if God won't deliver? So he appointed singers and he appointed people to praise the Lord. For his mercy endureth forever. In your worship, in worship, worship does something. I can't explain it exactly, but this is how I understand it. Worship transports us. You know, it moves us from one place to another. You know, today I heard a term the other day, the portal. You know, in sports and in athletics, these players get in a portal that transports them to another school or another team. And I thought that was a different kind of way to say it. But worship transports us. Hear me. Someone needs to hear this. Worship transports you from the realm of the human spirit to the realm of the Holy Spirit. Worship is the vehicle that will move you from one world to another world. To a world, it's sort of like being in the airplane and flying, taking off. And lifting off, breaking that grip of gravity on that heavy aircraft and lifts you Worship is that propels you, that propulsion that sends you into the heavens. And then you look down out the window and all the little patchwork of lots and land and roads and everything on earth looks so small. Worship does that for us. We get transported into the realm of the Holy Spirit, into God's world. And we can look back at our situation and our problem, and it doesn't look as bad as it does when we had our feet on the ground and we were wrestling with that thing. Why? Because we've drawn near to God. And we're in His presence and in His Spirit. Worship, never underestimate the power there is in worship. Your worship attracts and it draws the presence of God to you. Yes, it does. When you call His name, and they said in that prayer, God, this sanctuary, this tabernacle right here is where Your name dwells. We are the people of the name of Jesus. That. I cannot tell you how important that is. God sees you. He knows you. He knows the way that you take. And in your moment of difficulty, you look to Him. Our eyes are on You, God. You need to lift your eyes today and look to God. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help, for your help comes from the Lord. Oh, mighty God, hallelujah, Jesus. Lift up your eyes today and look to God. For He's your answer. He's the one that will sustain you. He's the one that is your strength. Praise God. Exercise the liberty to worship God. The king looked and he appointed singers and musicians and people to praise. And that's what they began to do. They stood and they lifted their voice and cried to God. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Would someone here today like to stand to your feet and lift your voice, lift your head, and look unto God today and say with us, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. They appointed singers, and we've got singers, and we've got musicians to lead us into the presence of God. I invite any one of you, if this has spoken to you in your particular place in life today, to just come forward, look unto God. Tell God, God, I'm going to be still before You. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to set myself, Lord. I'm going to anchor myself in You. No, I'm going to praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. There's something about turning the volume up. Let heaven hear you today. There's an enemy that wants you to be quiet. But there's something about turning the volume up in your worship and praise. And letting heaven hear you. And let the enemy hear you. Praising God. Announcing your faith in Him. Not caring who's here or who's not here. It's you and God. God, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You. So take liberty today to worship the Lord. Lift your voice to the Lord. Go ahead. Lift your voice to the Lord. Let's praise Him together. Let's see what the Lord will do. Yeah.
You stay the same. You are good.